That is so great. Here's what you need to know about that video y'all just saw. A number of years ago, we showed a video like that in Fort Worth, and it was made up of a bunch of names of folks who lived in Dallas and a bunch of folks whose lives were changed who lived in Dallas. And that video you just saw did not have a single person who lives in Dallas in it or a single name of a person who reached out from Dallas to reach a friend in Fort Worth. As the video was made up of this community of friends that believed us a number of years ago when we talked to them about what it is that we really wanted to do as we jumped in and serving with you here in this community. You need to know something. I could really care less about this thing called Watermark Community Church in and of itself as an entity. I care deeply about it as an expression of one of the many locations that God's people hang out. As I was driving over this morning from Dallas, I drove by a lot of pieces of property with facilities on them. And notice I didn't say churches. But where the church will gather in the next hours in this particular time zone. And I prayed as I went by him, Lord, would you just fill that place up with leadership that's going to equip people and encourage people and help people and spur them on to love and good deeds, not be concerned about who's showing up to be there that morning, but would you instill in the leadership and the communicators in that building a sense of your love for others and your desire to work in and through people for your glory. You see, there's all kinds of property that's already been acquired for that purpose and all kinds of facilities that have been placed there so that people can do that. And as you know, we don't necessarily need property or buildings to do that all throughout the week, but there are times when we gather as is appropriate that we could be equipped, that we could be encouraged, that we could be reminded, that we might remember how the Lord wants us to respond. A number of years ago, when we first started meeting with a very small group of you over here in Fort Worth, about two rows full, we just said, listen, guys, we are not interested in giving you any assistance in creating something that you would like to go to. We don't want to plant in Fort Worth a church that you would like to go to. If, on the other hand, we can come alongside of you and equip you and encourage you and enable you to be the church for your city, we're all in. And I want to tell you, it has been incredibly humbling to watch God go to work through his people in Fort Worth. And we are grateful that we are a part of the same body locally here that we call Watermark, which is just a group of friends that love each other, hold each other accountable, help each other in every way that we should, and spur each other on to love and good deeds and remind each other that we're not crazy, that this is the only thing really worth doing with our lives. And you guys are doing it. You know, partly because when you're smaller, right, if there's five people in your family and you add another child, your family grows by, you know, just under 20%. If you've got 5,000 people in your family and five people come, it doesn't grow by the same percentage. But let me tell you something. There is, when you've got a big bag of seed, there ought to be more harvest. And what is appropriate is with the seed that is the Spirit of God indwelling his people in Fort Worth, by percentage, this is where more people have stories like this than any other place inside this little family that's called Watermark Community Church, and it is amazing to watch. What I want you to see is what's happening up there is a bunch of people are writing down the names of individuals who don't go to a church that they like, but who love God, and so they want to be his church in this city. And I just want to tell you a way to go. And I am humbled, and I am encouraged, I am grateful, I am spurred on, and as leaders that are fully vested with you, we have been praying about the day that we would be able to offer to you a place that we could maybe invest in together that would be a piece of land that would have a facility on it where we could encourage people with the kindness of Christ throughout the week. Now look, none of us are really motivated by brick and mortar, right? Whenever you get involved in stuff like this, I mean, that number, you know, upwards of 2 million just to get the location, and then you saw millions more to make it useful to us in a way that's appropriate, you kind of go, gosh, wouldn't it be a lot better if we fed folks and clothed folks and cared for people in Fort Worth, right? Why do we need to spend more money, all right, for the church? And here's the answer. We don't. We don't need to spend more money for the church. But what the church is always going to do is use everything that they've got to advance the kingdom in any way that they can. If we were building a building, and this is the way I like to share it with people, if we were, if we're all doctors, people that have been equipped, okay, to care for the sick and the broken, and all we were doing is building a really nice doctor's lounge, that would be a bad resource investment. Doctors who are doing what I think we hope doctors do don't exist for their own comfort. They take an oath, in fact, to care for other people and not to be concerned about their own public advancement or their own growth of their practice or their bottom line or how impressive they can be with their reputation. What they got involved with medicine for, I hope, is because they thought that they would study and work hard and eventually be able to, out of an overflow of that effort, be able to really care for and help other people. Now, I'm grateful for doctors like that. I had one of them cut out some cancer from me this week. It was a good thing. I was grateful that he was able to do that. And so all I would share with you guys is that we're not building a doctor's lounge. I would not encourage you to invest in that. But here's what we are building, prayerfully together, is a medical school and a place that folks can be cared for. It is a what we'll call a working hospital, a place where we can practice what it is that God wants us to do, where we can be further trained in continuing education, and where we can invite others into the same process that will make them useful as God scatters them all across this region so that others can come not to write their name, but to say they've run into the grace of God that is available through something much greater than just temporary physical healing. And so that's what we're going to pray about together, all right? You need to know that as we, as Gary alluded to, we have never one time in our history as a body, because of our conviction as leaders and because of the general consensus of folks who prayerfully think about these things, we have never used a consultant. The way these things usually work is you hire a company that comes in and tells you what you need to do in order to raise money. I'll be honest with you. That slide, I'll try and have it change before the next service. What do we do if we don't raise the money? It's natural language. It's just not the right language. What are we going to do if God does not stir our hearts to release what is his towards this purpose? And the answer is, we're going to keep doing what we've already been doing. We're going to love people in this city. We're going to gather whatever facility that we can find, and we're going to pursue what's best. And a phrase that we use a lot is, we can't wait for this new facility. Meaning, we think when we get it, it's going to give us an amazing opportunity to do even more of what we're already enjoying, but we're not going to wait, right? Until that time, we're going to be busy about doing what God wants us to do. We don't believe that we need to bring in somebody who can tell you how to get this thing done. And typically it involves strategically approaching certain individuals who, because you look at how people give, you know that they're able to potentially really move the ball down the field. That you've got to kind of look at a need of this particular size, and you need X number of people to do this much, and X number of people to do this much, and you need X number of people to do this much. And so you do small group meetings, and you do luncheons, and you do dinners, and you invite folks to come, and you give them a sense of that. And I just got to tell you, I have never, ever looked at who's given at Watermark. I have no idea. I'm talking about in 17 years. I've never once looked at who has participated with us financially. Now, I have a general sense, because it's an important part of knowing how our body is doing. Are we growing hearts of people that want to advance the kingdom in whatever way they can? And the way we've always looked at these things, and the way we determine whether or not they're success, is not does the resource show up. But the question that we like to ask is, are the people prayerfully participating in considering what God would have them do and responding as gratefully as they can with a generosity that honors the King? And we hope 100% of our body can do that. I would consider this current opportunity before us a failure if the rest of us kind of got a sense of malaise. We looked at that number, it was so large, we're like, whatever I could do would not even begin to put a dent in that. And so I just kind of sit back and wait for somebody who, you know, whose family has some acreage that, you know, Pioneer wanted to drill on, and they're just getting a bunch of checks in the mail, and they'll start to forward it out like this. If I heard that 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 people out of this room responded and gave us $60 million, and the other 1,000 of us just sat back and go, well, you know, we wouldn't want to do this thing. We're not looking to raise money. What we want to do is share with you in a loving way about the opportunity that we have that we believe is one of the major hindrances to some of what we're doing over here. I don't know if you know what we go through each week to set chairs up, to work with the folks that are letting us be their tenants in this building and to move things in and out and shuffle. Some of you guys do because you're on the teams that set it up and make it happen every week. And there's still going to be setup that happens every day if we did get a facility. But all I want to let you know is we're not going to wait for that new building. But we are going to ask you, his people in this city, to wait before the Lord on a daily basis, like prayerfully you're already doing. And you would just simply say this, hey God, what would you have me do for your glory? Now here's why I want to share that with you, you know, as regards to this particular opportunity before us. And we're asking that 100% of Fort Worth and Dallas and Plano, but I want to tell you, especially Fort Worth, lets us know that that's what you have done and what you are doing. Because right now, over the last 5 weeks, just to encourage you, 15%, I do know this, 15, because they told me, 15% of the folks that hang out around this part of our body in Fort Worth have already done something towards this cause. So for every 100 people, 15, you know, families have responded. All right, that's because some of you guys are still processing. It's because a lot of you didn't know what you were processing. Today's the first day we told you what it is that the Lord might have us do and where it is that we might eventually locate and serve this city. I was over on that property early this morning just praying for you, praying for this city, praying for what God might do. It took me 4 minutes to get back over here. A little longer because I had a flat, but... But 4 minutes to get there from here to there on the drive, I've made it. And it's strategically located that opens up the west and still keeps us connected to our friends at TCU and other places. And we're excited. We wouldn't bother you with the ask for prayer if we didn't think it was going to be something that God might not use with you to encourage others. But here's what I want to let you do. And I'm going to share a little story that I shared a number of years ago with my friends in Dallas. That I think is really relevant to us. In fact, if you've got a Bible, would you open to Exodus 25 with me? And we're going to take a look at just some scripture that really informs the way we go about this, and then we're going to spend some time asking the Lord to direct our hearts in prayer. Gary, would you raise that for me while I'm talking? Thank you. Gary's a little shorter than I am, and so... Billy Graham, you all know, in the 1950s had a board of men that served with him. And up in Colorado Springs, there's an old castle, a mansion called Glen Eyrie. And somebody had shown Billy this piece of property. It's beautiful. It is actually used now by the navigators. And Billy looked at that and knew and was told for a certain amount of resource, millions of dollars, they could have that and use it as a conference training center. And so Billy called his board from all across the country and flew them to Dallas, actually, to have a meeting where he wanted to share with them this opportunity. And what he did when he got the men together, and I know this because I had a meal with one of these men, his name was Fred Smith. Fred was actually an insurance guy, lived in Cincinnati, flew down to Dallas, and Billy Graham, imagine this, Billy Graham, this is in the 50s, late 50s, said to his national board when they showed up, hey guys, I've brought you here to Dallas in a week's notice because it's an urgent matter that we really want you to jump in with us and participate with us. I believe it's God's will that he wants us to buy this piece of property in Colorado Springs. Now, I want you to put yourself in that room. All right, Billy Stinkin' Graham. I don't know if you knew that was his middle name. Billy Stinkin' Graham just told you that he believes it was God's will that you would buy this property and build this building. And so Fred Smith looked around the room, and no one was really doing anything. And so he raised his hand. He said, "Hey, Billy, if you flew me all the way down here from Cincinnati to have me argue with you about whether or not you knew it was God's, you know how to discern God's will, I'd rather not get in that conversation. But if you're willing to talk about it, I think it's a lousy idea." What he was saying right there is, "Hey, Billy, you just told me it was God's will that we buy that property. I don't want to argue with you about your ability to discern what God wants. That's why I've invested in your ministry and your board. I think you do. But I think your language there was irresponsible." Can I just tell you guys something? If I thought it was God's will, if I knew irrevocably that God wanted this community of faith to buy that 26 acres and redo a building on it to use, I wouldn't ask you to pray about it. I would ask you to repent if you haven't already responded fully and kept responding until it was done. That's why we don't ask you, okay, to pray about being open to the idea of not walking, okay, in the counsel of the wicked or standing in the path of sinners or sitting in the seat of scoffers. That's why we don't ask you to be open to the idea of delighting yourself in the law of the Lord and on that law meditating day and night. It's God's will that you do that. And what we do is encourage you toward that end. But when it comes to something like this, I can't turn a chapter and verse and go, "Thus saith the Lord, Watermark should buy this property. Thus saith the Lord, Watermark should renovate that building and have a certain feel that we believe will assist us as we serve others." Not in an extravagant way, but in an appropriate way, just to make it a home. I wouldn't ask you to pray about it. I'd just tell you, let's go. Who wants to be faithful? Because I don't know. As best we can, we have discerned that we believe that one of the major hindrances to your effort to continue to serve people in the city is a continual place for the church to be gathered, to be equipped, to be trained, that they might be caregivers, missionaries, servant leaders in this community. And God is affirming your purpose and effort in doing that. But I want you to pray. We would love to know that 100% of you who are members, and I'll address our guests that are here today, that 100% of you who are members would be in regularly, not what you have done, 50%, we're not asking what you've done, we're asking what you're gonna keep doing. And we're gonna ask that you would keep praying, the 85% who hasn't responded yet and the 50% who have, to prayerfully participate with us and saying, "God, what would you have me do in regards to this for your glory with a grateful heart?" Let me go one step further. There was a time when God did speak face to face to a guy. His name was Moses. And he did tell Moses that he wanted a group of people to build a tent of meeting. And I want you to watch what the scripture says. So I hope you're in Exodus 25 with me. Because God had told Moses that. Now, what do you think Moses is going to do when he already knows what God wants done? This is what he has. God says this in verse 1 of Exodus 25. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise," is that word raise? I would have changed that if the Holy Spirit let me. "To raise a contribution for me from every man," watch this, "whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contribution. Let them construct a sanctuary for me." See, even when God had sovereignly decreed, "Do this," he only wanted people to do it who were going to do it because it gave him joy. Watch this, a little bit later, in chapter 35, you want to flip over 10 chapters very quickly or type it into the very top of your iPhone? Exodus 35, you're going to see a theme here. There's 10 chapters of detail about what it is they're supposed to build. But then he says in verse 5, "Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord contribution, gold, silver, bronze, bonds, stocks." Let them do it. Down there in verse 20 and 21, Exodus 35, verses 20 and 21. "Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work." I could go on. This continues throughout the rest of chapter 35 and 36 until finally there was a day that said, hey, stop. There's more than enough for the purpose that we've asked you to bring the resources for. I can remember when we told people, hey, stop, there's more than enough for Plano. Hey, stop, there's more than enough to buy the property in Dallas. Hey, stop, there's more than enough for us to renovate the offices. Hey, stop, there's more than enough for us to put a tilt wall building up and some seats and some temporary children's facilities. Hey, stop, there's more than enough for us to build a town center. Hey, stop, there's more than enough for us to put our kind of permanent large gathering home that we used last night with many of you. Hey, stop, there's more than enough to renovate the children's building. And there was no longer an opportunity to invest in that particular resource that we have seen be a means through which people who are healing, others are trained, and people who need to be healed come to. And we're giving you guys the same opportunity. And what we as your leaders ask is if you know Christ and this is your home, or if you are here and it's going to be your home, if this is the base out of which you minister, if this is where God's called you to be on mission for him in this community, we're asking that you would just go, hey, Lord, what do you want me to do for your glory with a cheerful heart for this purpose? The way it works, you know, we've got about 90 days before we can do that without much opportunity to expose any resource from the church. After that, there's due diligence money that we need to beat up and things of that sort of a significant amount. And frankly, we believe the resource is already here. This is why we're not going to use debt. Debt's not forbidden by Scripture. It is, however, warned against. Every place there is talk of debt, there's admonition giving to be careful. We believe the resource to buy and even begin to get that building ready to use for us is already here. Question is, does God want his people to release it? And so why would we borrow and ask God to give us to use at our leisure what he's already provided? And he might be looking around and goes, you ain't talking about me. And I don't know, guys, what I would just say is this. Every single one of us, I think, if we listen to the Lord, has an opportunity with a grateful and cheerful heart to respond in a way that the opportunity before us, if it's what God wants, can happen. And if it's not, we can't wait. We'll be busy. So I will be participating with you. I will be praying with you. I'm already not part of the 15% because my number didn't come from Fort Worth just because where I live, but I've already participated towards this cause. I will do it again with my family. And I'll keep doing it until God says it's more than enough. Because I see his people at work in this city. And I am grateful for you. Now, one of the things that we want to do, and if you're a guest, you're kind of like, really? And some of you especially, if you brought a friend today, like, oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? All right? You need to know this. We really believe the most important people at Watermark are the next 100 people that are going to come. And that's not because we're trying to grow, okay? It's because part of our heart is our Father's heart. And part of our Father's heart is that he came to seek and save the lost. Let me say what I just said again. And I never say that first sentence without saying the full part of what I want to share with you now. We believe the most important people here are the next 100 people that come. And it's because those next 100 people are so important that we invest so deeply in you who are already here. Because you are the means through which those next 100 people are going to come to know about the grace of Christ. And so we equip you, we admonish you, we encourage you, we help you. We put you in communities where you shepherd one another. We give you resources to reflect on your spiritual life. We have studies that you can learn more of God. So when you speak his heart and his word. Because when God speaks to this city is healed. And this city will thrive. And that gives joy to the Father of everybody in the city. And so it's because those people that don't know God matter so much that we invest so much with God's people. And we're just saying to you, what do you want to do together? We have an opportunity that we're putting before you, and we're going to ask you to pray. And I feel no pressure to do anything but make disciples and to give those opportunities a chance to hear from their Father what he wants them to do. Just so you know the end of the story, it was a lousy idea for Billy Graham's ministry to buy Glen Eyrie. What Fred said is, Billy, here's why I wouldn't do it. There'll be a day when we'll buy some property that we'll put a conference center in place, but not right now, Billy. Right now, the Crusade ministry is taking off. You're the best in the world at it. Every resource we have has got to go towards that cause. If you're asking me whether or not I think we should do it, I think it's a lousy idea. If you're telling me it's God's will, I'm all in. You guys know even better than I do what a day-to-day ministry looks like in Fort Worth and whether it would help you impact this region if you had some more opportunity to develop something that we could use all throughout the week. And so I wouldn't have bothered you with it if we didn't think it was a good idea, but God's Spirit lives inside of you. Listen to him. God has already resourced you. For what purpose has he done it? And then we'll go, and we'll move forward, and we'll have great joy with one another. So that's kind of the way we roll here, all right? We don't talk about money a lot. We talk about vision a lot. And we invest our resources where we believe the vision can best be accomplished. So if you're a guest, you need to know the reason we're doing this. This is when the church gathers. And whenever we gather, we know that there's some people here who don't know our God. So we're always mindful of you. It's why we always start every service, you know, by just saying, hey, man, if you're here, it doesn't make any sense for you to sing songs about a God you love, about how much you love him if you don't know him yet. So just listen. But it wouldn't surprise you if our God is who he says he is, that he gave his life for us, that we would want to sing to him and celebrate him and remind us what is true. And so we're glad you're here. But every now and then we need to get together and do what God's people do. Not every now and then, all the time. And so every now and then we figure out if God wants us to release resources so we can raise up more people to care for more, who would raise up and be a source of grace to other people. One of the things God's people do is they listen to their Father. Prayer is not us telling heaven what we want. It is letting heaven get our hearts aligned with him. And I'm just going to give you a few short minutes to open up your Watermark News this morning and look at some scripture that is in there and pray. This is why I'm here right now. We're doing this in Dallas this morning. Dallas is praying these exact same things. Plano is not. They're doing something different that we're going to share with both campuses next week. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great Sunday together. I would tell you, I think this is a great day for your friend to be here to hear about how we go about listening to the Lord. But next Sunday is going to be a great time to invite your friends to hear about how sometimes we can have the veneer of faithfulness where underneath it there's deceit that's destroying our lives and how the grace of God shows up. That's next week. But this week and right now and every day, we want to be people of prayer. If you're here and this is really awkward for you, A, may the friend who brought you use this time just to love on you. If you are here as believers, I'd love you to turn to each other, grab just one small section of the Watermark News, pray through it, let's spread it out, don't everybody do the first one. Grab one of the different sections, read the scripture. That might be something you could do. Look up the scripture on your phone, just type it into Google. The scripture will pop up. Read it and know how we're praying for us so we can serve you. We're just gonna do this for a few short minutes. Since we felt like we needed to share more information with you today, why don't you take the next 5 minutes, grab a section, and let's pray. All right, here we go. Well, Father, I know that there are a few things that will annoy you as much about me as that I interrupt great conversations you're having with your children. But Lord, we just come to you now collectively, and we humble ourselves before you as a people, and we're paying attention. We do not want to go forward because it seems like a good idea to man. We want to do everything you want us to do, though, despite the fact that sometimes as men and women, we're selfish, fearful, keep our eye on our limited resources and not on your abundant provision. And so break us free from that, but Lord, let us only move forward in a way that would bring you good, your good name, honor, and good to people. And so, Lord, we want to 100% of us respond by saying, here we are, Lord, speak to me. Here we are, Lord, show us how you want us to live this week, how you want us to share resources you've given us this week, and I pray we'd do it again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You've told us that each of us must do just as we have purposed in our heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, because you love a cheerful giver, Father. We thank you that, as your scripture says, you are able to make all grace abound to us so that we always have all sufficiency for everything and in everything, that we might have an abundance of every good deed. So, Lord, all we want to do is what is good and right in response to who you are. I pray we'd follow your example. We would give generously and joyfully and completely in accordance with your will. We need your help. We are capable of talking ourselves out of this and of also doing it because we think it'd be great for us. May we do neither. That's going to be a supernatural act. Show us your will, Father. Help us. Pray for my friends in this room, Lord, that don't know you yet. I thank you that they can just hear us talk to you, just like a kid with his dad. Dad, I don't know what to do. I want to do what you want me to do. And so we thank you for this facility right now that we're getting to use. And you just remind us we're putting hundreds of thousands of dollars already into this facility. So may we not be so small-minded as to think that facilities are always bad. We love you. Let us hear your will in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things we love to do on Sundays like this, and if you're a guest and a friend here, I want to let you know what we're about to do is something that people who know Jesus do. There is no means of grace that will come to you if you participate in this next few minutes. The means of grace is what these elements represent. In fact, if you take communion and you haven't ever really dealt with your own personal sin, if you take communion and you haven't on your knees pleaded with God to forgive you and understand that the means through which a holy God forgives sinful people is through his son Jesus Christ, the Bible says when you take communion, you're really eating and drinking judgment to yourself because you're acknowledging that there's a holy God who made a perfect provision. You take it, and yet you don't personally partake of it by faith. So here's the good news. If you're not really ever sure you've done that, you can do it right now. And you can just say, I'm in. I believe that there's a holy God. I believe he's good. He's so good. He gave his son for me. His son's body was broken. That was my cross that the son was hanging on. That blood that was shed should have been mine. Because the wages of sin is death, and I deserve judgment. I'm a sinner. God, thank you that you love me through Jesus. He's my means of grace. And you're welcome to the table. But if you've done that, tell somebody, because there's other things that God wants you to do as a part of making that profession of faith, and that is to tell other people. He wants you to make a personal declaration of that at some point through baptism, and he wants you to grow and jump in with his others, his people. If you're a man of faith, if you're a woman of faith this morning, you're welcome to receive these elements. If you're not, we're not going to love you any less or think it's weird that you pass it. In fact, if you're a believer and you're living a disobedient life and you know there's stuff you need to do to repent, some people you need to reconcile with, he also says, before you just rush to the communion table, rush to obedience, where you eat and drink judgment to yourself. There's mercy available at the cross, but that mercy demands a right response. So as you receive these elements, would you listen to the words that remind you of what is true, and that of a true heart? In a moment, we'll take it together. Friends, would you pass it out for us for helping me this morning? Meditate on the truth of this song and the wonder of your Savior. Well, that's what we do. We sing, I will praise you as much as we can, as best we can, when our minds are right with God. And we're going to sing in every way that we can with our treasure, our talents, our time, and through our worship. Worship is not what we do in this moment. Worship is what we do all the time with our lives. But it's appropriate that every now and then we gather together and we corporately remind ourselves of the kindness of our King. Right. So what you got to do right now, very carefully, is kind of unscrew that top, all right? And you'll see there's another cup underneath it. That's where the bread is. And we'll take that together. It says in the scripture that Jesus, what he did on the night that he was betrayed, he's a master teacher, and so he used materials and he used things that people could put their hands on and use the senses. And he said, listen, just like your body craves bread, it's going to die. You're going to die. Here's the thing. You're dead without me. And just like when you eat bread, you break bread, and then you don't shove it in your mouth. When you break bread, you need to be reminded that what God's about to do with my body, Jesus said, is he's going to break it for you. It's going to become food for the world of sinners who need a Savior. I'm the Savior. Every time you eat, and you with other believers, remember me so that you might live in a way that honors me. Follow me. Christ, the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, gave thanks to the Father that he would allow him to serve his eternal goodness and purposes. Looked at his friends. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. A little Seder they were part of right then. There's a number of cups of wine that you drink in a Jewish Seder. One of them, and this is the one that Jesus, you know, incorporated into this thing that we call communion, where we, by faith, remember, we commune with God and go, oh, this is the way God does business. He creates selfless servants who use the resources for his glory. When you're the perfect, eternal Son of God, the resource he's given you is your perfect blood. And he was pleased to give it because he loves you. Cheerfully. With a grateful heart, he said, thank you, Father. That a new covenant, a new way to relate with people is going to happen through me. No longer through anticipating grace, through sacrificial systems that remind them that death is what they're due, but kindness is what you give. Now they'll look back at the greatest kindness that you, Father, in me, have provided a perfect sacrifice. And my blood was shed for them that they might be forgiven. He said to his friends, as often as you drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of me that you might know of the Father's love, the blood of Christ shed for you. I love it we use grape juice in that wine because it just makes you happy. It does, right? It just makes your mouth go, yes! And that's really what the covenant should do, okay? When you understand what Jesus did, it's like, yes! That is so sweet. The fruit of the vine is life. Jesus says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit and it will be life for the people in your city. So our prayer for you is that you would be that fruit this week because you abide with Christ. He loves you. He loves you. We love you. We pray for you and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you for these friends. I thank you for the way that you are at work in this city through them. You said that the things that you did, even greater works than these, will you do if we abide in you. It is crazy that in 2017 we would be a fulfillment of that promise. That in the crazy little section of town called Tarrant Parker County, you are saving some crazy people who have come to know the kindness of God and the mercy of God. And you are about to unleash us to worship you, to tell people about your name so they could find the forgiveness that we have found. And Lord, we want to know how we can put together other resources, facilities, and land that we could use as an outpost to reach them, serve them, train them, equip them, that they might serve with us for the purpose of glorifying you, our King, in this city. Would you make your will known to us? We know it's your will that we love one another. We know it's your will that we declare your glory. Would you help us? We love you, Father. If there's anybody here who doesn't know you, Lord, would you give us a special sensitivity towards them? Would you give them a special desire to even come talk to us that we might serve them? We love you, Father. We thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a great week of worship. We'll see you.